Lynn Nottage's play, Ruin, takes place in a bar-slash-brothel located in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in an area contested by both rebels and government soldiers. The bar is run by the formidable Mama Nadi and provides a workplace for some of the young girls who have been sexually abused in the conflict. It also provides a haven for all of the miners, profiteers, rebels, and soldiers, providing they leave their weapons at the door. It's a powerful and engaging play, now being performed at the Manhattan Theater Club in the New York City Center at the Stage One. And I am so happy that it brings to our studio playwright Lynn Nottage and her leading lady, Mama Nadi herself, Saida Arika Ekolona. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Saida, your character is on stage almost constantly. At the end of the night, are you exhausted or are you exhilarated? You must have a lot of adrenaline in your rushing through your body.
I do. Actually, it's a combination of both. But I'm really learning to have a ritual when I get home on how to take care of myself.
You don't just fall into bed exhausted?
Oh, I used to, but I don't anymore. I stay up for a couple hours and then I fall into bed. On two show days, yes, I will fall into bed.
Now, I invited a number of different people to come, and they all ask the same question. Is this going to be depressing? And, people do have a certain apprehension, Lynn. Were you concerned about making this topic, this really powerful topic, audience friendly?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a concern, and I think that's why it took some time for me to write it. But in doing so, I wanted to sustain the complexity of modern Africa, which means that there's humor and there's joy, there's music, but there's also brutality. And so I wanted it to be a stew that sort of represented the DRC as it exists.
And is that what you hope people would take away from it?
I hope so.
Many of us can only bear to skim the newspaper reports about raping used as a method of warfare in that area. Certainly, you must have felt that your mission was more than to just entertain.
I think it was educational. Yeah, I think it absolutely was. But in the process of writing it, I was aware that I didn't want to preach because people turn away. You know, it's like a parent when they tell you that this is good for you and you should be listening. Of course, you want to run in the opposite direction. I wanted people to arrive at their own conclusions after having the experience of the play.
And you report that in the cities of Congo, there are billboards that say don't rape.
Well, that's true. My husband, who was doing a documentary in DRC, took a photograph of a don't rape billboard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Saida, were you following the story in Congo before you were cast for the role?
Well, you know, when Lynn and Kate went to the Congo for the first time, I had opened a play that I had worked on them called Fabulation. And so when they came back, they were telling us stories, so I had heard them. And every now and then through our conversations over the years, Lynn would say something, but I hadn't really followed it. So,
are people surprised when they hear you speak?
Yes.
Because they just assume that you speak with
a Congolese accent, yeah.
And I understand that you have served as a South African dialect coach.
Yes, I have. I went to South Africa, oh my goodness, in 93 when one of my undergraduate professors had received a Fulbright. And I went and stayed with her for 6 weeks and just like picked up all of these different pieces of different languages. And then when I got to New York, Valley Song had been being produced everywhere, and I happened to be a reader for it. And I said, oh, well, you know, la, la, la. And they said, how do you know how to do that? I said, well, I was in South Africa. And they said, do you want to be a dialect coach? And I said, sure. And then I'm like, what does that entail? But then I figured it out, and it was really great to be a dialect coach. I really enjoyed it.
I've spoken to actors about how what they're wearing can affect the way they play. And I assume, and you wear this incredible costume throughout the play, but I assume that also the dialect affects the way you play this role. You know, that you get into it and it becomes another, I don't want to say costume, but it becomes another thing that actually allows you to understand this character better.
Yeah, it's another characteristic, especially with the Congolese accents because...
And you're doing a real Congolese accent?
Yes,
as opposed to a South African?
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's different placement in the mouth, and South African is more thrown to the back of the mouth. Congolese is more in the middle. It depends on your economic situation. Mama's not rich. She's very poor.
She
wasn't educated. And so, therefore, she doesn't use a lot of the French words like Christian and Sophie do because they are educated. And it is another characteristic. It helps you understand who the person is.
And I think one of the things that we did, was, which was really unique to this process, is that we had a week-long workshop during the summer just to work on dialect so that the actors could live with the accent for a while before they actually began the rehearsal process.
Because this is a country which has a number, it's a huge country, a lot of different languages, and then French, because it was a Belgian colony, French is also a language that's spoken by many people. And so we understand something about the character by just how much French, as you say, they employ, and whether they even have a bit of a French accent or not. Now, Lynn, I gather that this all started with you thinking about Mother Courage. Were you going to stage a version of Mother Courage?
Well, Kate Wirsky, who's the director, and I, while we were working on Fabulation, kept talking about wanting to do a modern adaptation of Mother Courage set in the Congo. We'd been following that war for many years and thought it'd be interesting to explore that character in Africa. And then when we went to Uganda, where we interviewed the refugee women, we introduced them to the word Mother Courage, and it literally transformed in their mouths. And when we left, we suddenly had a different perspective and a different relationship to that play.
Was this commissioned?
It didn't begin as a commission. I really didn't want anyone to own this play. I wanted to feel completely unencumbered as I was writing. And after I had written my first draft, a theater came along and said, well, we're interested in commissioning. It's like, great. Mm-hmm. All the work is done. Mm.
In what way did you want to depart from the Brecht model?
Well, I was interested in looking at the emotional life of Mother Courage. I think that Brecht, so much of what he talks about is the alienating effect, is distancing the audience so that they can confront the reality. But I wanted to do the absolute reverse, which is make them confront the emotional reality. And so that they have a very strong visceral response, because I do think that we act more quickly upon emotions.
Mm-hmm. Had you been researching this, or is this something that originally was inspired by just reading the horrifying newspaper report?
For me, it was inspired by years of reading newspaper reports and feeling an absence of narrative. I got very frustrated that I didn't see what was happening to African women in the Congo. So
now, Saida, music is an important part of this as well, and there is a young woman who sings beautifully in the play.
She does, doesn't she?
In fact, this is we should point out, this is a great ensemble cast.
It's amazing.
Yes, it
cast.
Is. It is.
But then you sing at one point. And and I didn't expect you to be as
me
good
neither.
As you are.
Oh,
really?
Thank you. I didn't expect to be singing.
Uh-huh. But you must have sung before.
Oh, I do. I do. I can carry a tune. It was one day in rehearsal when we were rehearsing that scene, and all of a sudden Kate and Lynn said, hey, Saida, come here. I said, sure. And they said, hey, can you sing this little thing? I said, okay. And I just sang it, and then they're like, okay, now you're singing the song. All right, moving on. And it's like, well, what if I have issues with my voice? And they were like, no, whatever. You're going to sing now.
A number of actors have told me that they'd never sung before they sang on stage, but that they saw it as a component of acting.
It is.
They were actually acting out the part of a singer.
It is. That's some of the actors that do musicals are good actors that can seem like they're incredible musical theater actors because they know how to play through the song, and that's what we're doing in that particular song in the beginning of Act Two.
And can I add that Saida sings so well that we actually wrote another song for her. End up in the play. It was a very beautiful song, but she sang it extremely well.
And had the music been there from the start?
Yeah, it was part of the original conception of the piece.
So this has so many different complex parts. None of these things developed during rehearsal? They were all there in your original script?
Well, you make discoveries. I think that the placement of the song shifted in during the process. For instance, the first song that sang in the bar was sung completely at the top. And what we discovered is that it worked more effectively if it was sort of woven throughout the entire scene.
When you went to Congo, did you find that music was everywhere?
I didn't go to Congo. I was in Uganda.
Oh, yeah. And you traveled with your director.
I traveled with director, yeah. I did. I felt that the music was an integral part of the fabric of the culture.
You've written about a time when you were dressed in African clothing and you posed for a picture with these Congolese refugee women, and you couldn't pick yourself out.
Yeah, that for me was the pivotal moment in the writing of the play, because I was struggling with what's tale to tell. And when I developed the pictures and I looked at them, I thought, oh my God, I'm telling my story. It became a very universal story and much easier for me to write.
Is this something that goes back to your childhood? Your parents collected African art.
My parents collected African art. My mother traveled to Africa a great deal. She lived in Liberia for a period of time. So I've always had sort of a fascination and been romantically drawn to the continent.
Sayida, this is not, this kind of role doesn't come along every day.
No, it
for
doesn't.
An actor. What kinds of things have you been doing in the past? You've never carried a play the way you've carried this, have you?
No, this is I'm proud to say this is my first leading role, and it's a beautiful role to learn how to be a lead in the play and how to carry everything.
Because she is such a complicated character. We both admire her. She could be seen as an exploiter, a villain, whatever,
absolutely.
As Mother Courage is ultimately in the Brecht play. But she also does some really good things, and in the end, she saves a lot of people's lives.
Mm-hmm. She does. Before this, I've been playing mostly supporting roles, mostly in, well, comedies and some dramas. In films, it's been mostly supporting, and TV, it's been supporting too. So this was just really a way for me to branch out and say, hey, you gonna do it or not? And I discovered and surprised myself and said, you know what, I can do this.
Well, how do you approach being an exploiter of women and a war profiteer and still make her into somebody who the audience can connect to?
Well, she has her reasons. And I don't think Mama doesn't think about the exploiting. She's a survivor first and foremost. And so she has to think about herself and how she can protect herself. If that means it's at your detriment, I'm sorry, but I've got to protect myself because I've got to eat. I've got to survive, especially after everything she's been through. So that's the outlook, which actually earlier in the rehearsal, I was kind of having a little bit of trouble with that. And I kept asking Lynn and Kate all of these questions, and they're like, she's a survivor. And I had to really start to identify with that mentality.
She, like Mother Courage in the Brecht play, doesn't take any political sides, gets by just through her wits.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that she's really a smart person, even if she comes from a poor background and has little mm-hmm. education. She's probably the smartest person mm-hmm. in that room.
Yes.
And that, Lynn, I assume, was something that you wrote into the play.
Yeah, I think she's like many women who don't have access to opportunity, is she creates her own. You know, when I was writing, I was thinking very much of my grandmother, who was someone who, you know, didn't go to high school and didn't go to college, but had this immense intellect. And I thought if she had had all of those things accessible to her, she would have ruled the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's who Mama Nadi is. You know, she's just this powerful woman sort of trapped in this intractable situation.
My guests are Lynn Nottage, whose latest play, Ruined, is currently being performed by the Manhattan Theater Club, stage one at New York City Center. That's downstairs in a wonderful theater with a much bigger stage you might expect to find
yes. mm-hmm.
in a space like that. And the woman who plays the center of the whole story, Mama Nadi, Sayida Arika Ekolona, she's here as well. One of the things that I really found interesting about Mama Nadi is that even though she does have this hard shell and she's a tough businesswoman, there are all these human touches, like the way she reacts to getting lipstick or to Belgian chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, she's still just some woman who's trapped in this situation trying to survive.
Well, I like to think of her as a romantic.
Yeah.
You know, underneath this whole hard shell, that there's romance.
Well, but it's hard to feel romantic about the men in this play.
It is, but we do have one character who is a poet and a romantic, who is Christian.
He's a supplier of goods for Mama Nadi, and
mm-hmm.
he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
But the other male characters are brutalizers to varying degrees.
Well,
and the play, which starts off as not exactly a comedy, although there are a lot of funny things, it takes a turn when one of those men shows up.
It definitely does. At the beginning of the play, I wanted to lull the audience into a comfort zone to understand just how quickly one's life can be shattered and brutalized. And most of the men in the play represent the soldiers. And if you notice that the soldiers are played, soldiers on both sides, the rebels and the government soldiers, are played by the same mm-hmm. actors, because for the women there really isn't much difference.
Mm-mm. Because in the end, they all present danger.
Danger,
they,
yeah.
They represent danger.
Yes.
And this is a dangerous situation. Mamanati has been able to find a way to balance things. Until,
yeah,
but the point, the situation gets so chaotic, it really becomes difficult.
Yeah, it definitely does unravel. I wanted to pull the war onto the stage. So at the beginning of the war, you feel it very much outside. And you feel as though Mama's been incredibly successful in keeping the danger at bay. Mm-hmm. And slowly you realize that she's as strong as she is and as willful as she is, she's incapable of fighting off that menace.
Were you surprised when you wrote it? I guess you didn't imagine that the situation would continue to be so awful in Eastern Congo.
It actually breaks my heart. I was hoping when I started writing this play that I would be talking about the past. You know, and it sort of shocked me that this play still has as much relevance as it does. It shocks me, and it frustrates me, and it angers me.
You have written about women who have developed skills to survive before as well.
Yes.
Intimate Apparel was about your grandmother, based on your grandmother.
It was inspired by my great-grandmother, who was a seamstress of Intimate Apparel.
Exploited by men.
Yes.
Here, actually, the men aren't exploiters so much as just, I don't know what word I want to use, but they have ruined these young women's lives. These women have no real futures.
Well, you know, the tragic thing I feel about the DRC is that there's been so many layers of exploitation that in some ways the men are victims as well. You know, it began with King Leopold, who introduced a particularly brutal form of colonialism to the continent. And then the CIA put into power Mobutu, who then proceeded to introduce a particularly brutal form of governance. And then all chaos broke loose when he was removed. So I think that the unfortunate thing about the Congo is that everyone's been victimized.
Said, are you going to be sad when this play finally closes? Because this gives you a chance not only to act a very complicated character, but to sing, to dance.
I can't think about it. Is this
an open-ended run?
No, we're scheduled till April 12th. We've been extended till April 12th. But, I mean, one of our assistant stage managers is leaving, and she told us the other day that she's leaving in 3 weeks, and we're like, I'm sorry, I can't hear that right now. I mean, what? You can't be gone. And so we started fantasizing about what would happen on our last show and how everyone would just grab on to every single word. But I'm not thinking about it.
But you must be thrilled by the kinds of reviews you've received.
I'm overwhelmed. I was really, honestly, quite frightened how an audience would respond to a play in the middle of a recession about rape.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I just feel really blessed that there is an audience for this show.
Full houses every
full
night.
Full house.
Mm-hmm.
And standing ovations as well.
And we're receiving letters from people who, this one woman came last week and she sent us a letter saying that she's been coming to the theater for 50 years and she's never seen a play like that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I've been getting notes from Congolese women who've said thank you, and thank you for ending with optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a very sad situation. Women who are raped in many cultures, victims wind up becoming doubly victimized. Their families, their villages won't take them back.
Right, which is definitely what I heard when I was in interviewing the women. But, you know, one of the really wonderful things, I shouldn't say the word wonderful is probably not appropriate, but one of the things that I experienced when we were trying to find women who'd be willing to speak to us is that there were so many that wanted to do it. They wanted to bear witness. It was almost cathartic for them.
Now, this play took you how long?
I went to East Africa in 2004. I pushed aside the research material probably for about a year and a half, and I think the writing took a year.
So should I assume that you're in the process of doing it all over again with another play?
I actually have a new play. I've written a new play. I write two plays at the same time on my screen, and it's like the yin and the yang, like Fabulation and Intimate Apparel. I have a comedy and a tragedy going.
Is there a role for Saida? There
is a role for Saida.
Oh, good.
There's actually a role probably for all the actors on that stage.
I feel like I'm going to be the casting director.
You
of
are. Thank you. Sure. I'll give you 10%.
And what's the play about?
It's about Hollywood. It's set in the 1930s, and it's a comedy, and I won't say much more than that.
Well, we go from Congo to Hollywood.
To Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Two different forms of exploitation.
Well, you said it's running until April what?
April 12th.
Uh-huh.
So far. It might get extended again.
And if the audiences keep on coming out, I suspect often the only reason that plays close is because something else is scheduled to come in. But I don't know if that's the case at the Manhattan Theater Club.
I don't know, but I hope that we continue.
I do, too.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us. Saida Arika Ekolona, who stars as Mama Nadi in Lynn Nottage's Ruin. And thank you, Lynn Nottage, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.